Welcome to Whiskey Wednesday, where we drink the finest whiskey and we argue about the internet's most important topics.
Because if there's anything that the internet doesn't love more, it's arguing and telling people that they're wrong.
Remember, we may not agree with these topics, but we're going to argue this and we're going to die on this hill.
So grab something to drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hello, podcasters. Thank you for tuning in today. We are so glad that you're here with us. We have some pretty fascinating discussion and a great drink today. So make sure that you hit the subscribe button, share this with somebody who also enjoys topics like what we discussed today, and also may enjoy listening a little bit about some whiskey, some bourbon. All right, today we have one of my all-time favorites. This is, Eagle Rare is probably the whiskey that got me the most excited about whiskey, like kind of turned me into
a
bourbon guy. Yeah.
Hmm.
I had some decent bourbons before I had this, but nothing quite as good as this. And a lot of people would even maybe argue this isn't the best. And I would even argue it's probably not the best I've ever had, but it is such a good bourbon, and MSRP on it is very reasonable. I think it's like $35-$40 bucks or something. However, I don't know if it's because it has the word rare in it or if it's because it's done by Buffalo Trace, which it seems like anything that Buffalo Trace touches instantly becomes hard to get and rare.
Yeah, especially here in Ohio.
But Eagle Rare is extremely hard to get. And I have a couple people to thank for helping me get this. Jimmy, we love you. We thank you. And Exoteric Group, thank you so much. I actually had a couple bottles come to me in a certain fashion that I'm very thankful for, because it is very hard to get.
Hand-delivered gift, that's how it came. Hand-delivered gift.
And it is one of my favorites. So I'll let you pour while I tell you a little bit about it. I couldn't find a ton about this in, I couldn't find some long tenure history, although it does go back a little ways. So I didn't know this until I looked this up. The original Eagle Rare was actually 101 proof. 10-year-old, it was not a single barrel, Kentucky straight bourbon, and it was made by Seagram, created by master distiller Charles L. Beam, which
we know Beam.
Very, yeah. Very a significant name. It was introduced in 1975. Eagle Rare was among the last new bourbon brands introduced prior to the era of small batch bourbons. Eagle Rare has been distilled and bottled under other and were marketed by a number of other companies, including Old Prentice Distillery and Frankfort, Kentucky. The Sazerac Company, an American family-owned producer and importer based in New Orleans, Louisiana, and parent company of five distilleries, acquired Eagle Rare from Seagram in 1989. Sazerac's Kentucky Distillery was then known as the George T. Stagg Distillery, which George T. Stagg is also an extremely sought-after bourbon. Today, the distillery is known as the Buffalo Trace Distillery. So this is one of one of the many amazing bourbons out of Buffalo Trace. So the original 101 proof 10-year-old single barrel was discontinued in March of 2005. This is, I believe, a 90 proof.
45%. So
90 proof, and it's very good. It's not too hot. It's not hot enough. I don't know what the other.
Not too hot. Not too.
People like
cold.
To say smooth. I think something can be high proof and still smooth. So I try not to use smooth to explain.
Hot
proof,
though is good.
But yeah, hot.
Everyone kind of gets that feel.
I think once you hit like 110 and above, to me it can
get punchy.
Hot. It's pretty hot. So 90 is still, it's still pretty easy.
Those normal whiskey flavors.
Yeah, this is a 10-year.
Okay.
Which is significant. I think it's one of the reasons why it is sought after. Because most whiskeys and bourbon has to be 10-year.
Yeah.
But most whiskeys that you'll find are less than that. So this is a 10-year for, $35, $40 if you get an MSRP.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And so that's good. I think it's one of the reasons why it's pretty sought after.
Yeah. It's good, man.
Yeah, I think. Yep, I still love this.
It's good.
It is
oaky.
Yeah, there's just enough sweet. It's not too sweet.
Right.
And you get the oakiness, which I love the oakiness. We missed that the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Of filming this. Some of the ones we had weren't very oaky. I missed the oakiness. I don't know. There's something about this bourbon to me is just, it's kind of the epitome of, it is the basic thing that I want. It is 90 proof. It's not, you know, it's not super hot. It's not like a boring 80 proof. It's got just enough sweet, just enough oak. Man, I really do love this.
So it starts off hotter than, say, what we had last, the Angel's Envy, mm-hmm. right? It starts off a little harder, and then it increases the heat, not like spicy, but the I think it's the alcohol content that you mm-hmm. start to taste. And then right after that, you get a solid oak, like, platform.
Yep.
And then you kind of give it a little bit of time, and you start to feel the oak and honey start to come back in, which is something that we've not had from another whiskey before. Yeah. It's just like, we talk about the aftertaste a lot. This aftertaste is oak and honey.
Yeah.
Which is a good taste.
It is to my favorite. That is the reason why I love bourbon.
Yeah.
Oak honey. I wish maybe there's a little more vanilla to it.
Yeah, I have a hard time tasting vanilla sometimes. So yeah.
There's not a lot of that. But again, this is, I honestly think if I had to pick one bourbon to ever have, it would be hard to not choose this because it is just, it's a perfect blend of everything for me.
It's pretty high for
this. This might be, yeah. I mean, I would choose this over a Blanton's. I would choose this over.
Yeah, I would too.
Even though Blanton's to me is smoother.
It is.
It may be a little sweeter, but Blanton's to me is missing some of the oakiness or something to it. I don't know.
Also,
but
the bottle, classic, like wine-shaped bottle. But I like the eagle on it. It's got some good art.
Yeah, I like that it's printed. It's not stuck on there.
It's real, yeah. It's simple though. And that's,
yeah, and
we don't need you wasting money on.
With as much as I love this, they actually have a 17 year mm-hmm. that is very hard to find. Not impossible, but very hard to find. I would love to get my hands on that. And then they have a 20 year, which mm-hmm. they call Eagle Super Rare, I think they call it. And it is in this beautiful yeah. bottle with like this glass eagle stopper and everything. I'll put some pictures here.
That'd be cool.
It is, I just want the bottle, but I would love, with as good as this is, I wonder how good the 17 and the 20 is. Now, I think MSRP is like $2,000.
Got it.
I might do it.
As much as you love this.
As much as I love it, yeah. It would hurt. It would hurt.
Yeah.
But I think I would find a way to do it. I'll sell a watch or two or three or I don't know.
Sell a bunch of Neomags. That would work.
I'd sell a case of ammo. Yeah.
Yeah. I could
probably sell Neomags.
I should sell some Neomags.
I would love. So to me, the 20 year is kind of this, like, it's basically impossible to get. Like, I'll never get it. 17 year, from what I hear, is more likely to get, although still very difficult. And as difficult as this is to get, even though I think I have like three bottles of this right now. This is still takes a little bit of work to get.
Yeah.
But yeah, super excited to bring Eagle Rare on here because it is probably, it's in my top three.
It's good. I would give it a 7.5 out of 10.
And I'm going to punch you for that.
I think it's a good whiskey.
I think it's good, but
yeah.
You also didn't pour me enough.
Five is like, is an even whiskey. 10 is, this is the best thing I ever tasted. 7.5 is a high mark.
It is. But I think you've given something else. What's the highest thing you've given? I think you've given it 8.
1776, I really loved.
I think you gave it like 18, eight. Or 8.5 or something.
I gave 8.5. I really loved the strong punch of oak that 1776 gave me. I've never given anything above an 8.5, so.
That's still your all-time favorite, huh?
Angel's Envy's up there. We didn't rate it last week.
That's true, we didn't rate that.
But I would say Angel's Envy would be up in the 7.5s as well.
So you give Angel's Envy about
roughly
the
about the same as that, yeah.
I'll say it again. This is one that I will always have a bottle of, and I try not to open one until I have another one
ready
on deck, you know, like, yeah. I feel safer having one open.
It's a comfort
if,
drink.
If I have another one, yeah. You know, that's ready to come. So, yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah, I love this. Love Eagle Rare. And I wish I had a better story, you know, I wish I had some cool story to it. The, you know, I mean, it's obviously, it's been around a long time, but Yeah, it unfortunately doesn't have the slick.
Right.
It maybe does, but
it's
I can't.
The mints came from the dungeons of the earth to forge steel that.
It's so hard to beat the story for, you know, for like. Horse soldier.
The trade tower.
Yeah, I mean, those bottles, just.
That's cool.
If you haven't seen that, go back and watch. Like, even if you just watch the beginning and learn about the horse soldier bourbon.
That's very cool.
It's very cool.
But this does have some seriously solid roots with some good. They call it what? Brewmasters? What do they call it?
Master distiller.
Master distillers. Like, it's got some very strong roots tied to some very good alcohols.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Beam.
You can taste that.
Charles Beam.
Yeah.
It's obviously it's been tested and tried and true for a long time, and it'll always be one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today's topic. We're going to talk about basically if you decided I am going to build AR pistol or SBR. When you do that, you generally are going to have to decide at some point, what caliber do I want this in?
Yeah, what am I going to do?
We're in a golden age, thankfully, of a lot of amazing calibers with a lot of pros and cons that you can shoot out of a sub-16-inch barrel.
Sure.
And I'm a huge 300 blackout nerd. I think...
As am I.
If I want to shoot a 220-grain subsonic 30 caliber out of the same gun... Basically, as not same different barrel.
Different barrel.
I'll put in the same gun.
That's an important change.
It's very important. But if I want to shoot a 30 caliber round, ranging from, and they even have larger than 220 grain. That's the biggest thing I've ever bought.
Yeah.
All the way down to like, I don't know, 50, 60 grain or something, which is
nuts.
Ripping.
Yeah.
That is a crazy, nuts. Crazy fast round.
Yeah.
All out of a short barrel. AR, it is just, I love 300 blackout. But with that said, that is still today, it's less of a boutique round than what it used to be, but it's still kind of a boutique round. So the 5.56, 223, and I would say 9mm.
And those will all be called, kind of the short barrel rifle category. And then, the 9mm 45 is like a PCC, right? Pistol caliber carbine, for those of you who aren't aware of what that is.
Right. So... There are some, and even that market has come a long way.
It has.
Yeah, CMMG is doing some great things. Angstead.
Last round bolt open.
Makes some beautiful, awesome PCCs. But I'm taking the side of that. If I'm going to build a SBR or AR pistol, if I'm going to build something that is that size, I'm going to put a rifle round through it. If I'm going to have something that is going to give me the controllability to be able to handle a larger round, like a rifle round, then why would I bother putting a little pistol round in? If I'm going to shoot a pistol round, then I'll just shoot a pistol. If I want a rifle or SBR or whatever, I want a rifle round in it. So I'm going to do a 223. Or I'm going to do a 300 blackout because I want that power. I also, from my experience, my 300 blackouts, my 223s, all sub 16 inch, have been way more reliable than my PCCs. And they're less finicky. So a AR has an actual gas system to it,
right.
And they cycle better. You can actually tune them. You can't really tune a PCC.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you do, it's by adding weight. And who wants to add weight to a gun?
So whatever you gain in tuning, you still get reciprocating mass from.
Right, you're adding more mass to it. And so that's my...
I get that.
To me, that's just... That's a big downside, and I want to make sure that my gun is going to be very reliable. And one of the last things I kind of thought about when I built these guns, but I actually brought mags in here for example. So this is a 30 round standard P mag loaded with 223. This is a Glock 31 round, loaded with 31 rounds of 9mm. Now, we actually weighed this beforehand, because yeah, I was like, this has to weigh less than this, because this is 55 grain versus 115. Although, you know, the case is bigger, more powder, but how much can that really weigh? Well,
they're basically the same.
This was like 5 grams more, so yeah. you can't tell.
No, it's...
You can't really tell the difference between
this. They're right next to each other.
However, this is quite a bit longer than a loaded, than a P-MAG. So...
Longer is better.
It is not. If I've chosen to build a shorter barrel thing, it's because I want something that is easily used in tight spaces. So trying to save a bunch of length this way, but then put a long mag on it, like a long 30 round stick mag, kind of defeats the purpose a little bit. So this is gonna be easier to snag on things than this. And I realize I'm not talking about like double the length here or anything, but
it's an inch.
I mean, it's an inch and a half, maybe.
It counts.
I've also found these can be a little more finicky.
Okay, yeah.
And let's talk about cost. This baby.
It's like $40.
Cost way more than this.
When I bought it last, it was like $40.
They're probably something like that.
Yeah, probably like 40,
and
50,
these
60.
Are what, like 15?
Yeah.
So you can buy a lot more P-MAGs than what you can this. And I realize that there are P-MAG versions of these. However, I have found those mags, and I found other branded 30 round Glock mags to be, actually not even 30 round, I found other branded Glock mags to be less than reliable.
If you're gonna get a Glock mag, get an OEM Glock mag, for sure.
So I've not really had any problem with P-Mags. I know there's people that are diehard that they're gonna buy the aluminum AR mags, go for it. They're about
certainly not
the same price. So
yeah.
So those are my reasons why I'm not gonna go with a pistol round.
Pretty reasonable. So Greg has what I'm gonna call rifle caliber short barreled rifles, and they're braced. And he also has a PCC. I only have a PCC. And so as such, I've shot a bunch of rifle caliber, short barreled rifles, but I only own a PCC. And the thing that I love the most about my PCC is how tiny the barrel is. Now, I'm aware you can get short barreled rifles pretty short. And, you know, I think, what's the 8.5? You have one that's 8.5.
Something like that. I think my 300 blackout is between 8 and 9 inches or something.
Yeah, so 8, 9 inches. And with pistol rounds, you can actually push that even shorter, letting you put them into a significantly smaller backpack. And I think the coolest part about having a tiny gun is backpacking it. It's just my opinion. It's, you know, you put a law folder on that thing, pop it open, and it's like, eep, and you just plink. And whereas, yes, rifle rounds are notorious for being more effective at killing people, pistol rounds still get the job done, and especially with the recoil mitigations that some pistol, it just has a different recoil impulse. I find that it is stiffer than gas blowback. The direct impingement is usually what they use for pistol caliber carbines, and gas blowback is usually what they use for rifle rounds. And it's a snappier like punch, but I think that a lot of times these things are so massive, I feel like they're just tack drivers and you can just, you know, drive nails with them. So I like the feel of a PCC a lot over a rifle. And then they're also kind of cheaper to run. What does 300 Black run now?
I don't even know. Probably at least a couple bucks around.
Couple bucks around, right? You can get 9mm for 50 cents around now, which is still heartbreaking. But it's significantly cheaper to run than most rifle rounds. You can get 223 for a little more. What is it? I don't even know what ammo costs anymore.
Yeah,
but it's more than what a 9mm is. And 45 is expensive, so don't skip 9mm. So I think having a less expensive round lets you shoot more, have more fun, but it comes at a cost of a slower speed. Heavier round, slower speed. It's gonna shoot better through windows, unless shooting 300 black, because it's a heavy round. So that I think is useful. I actually had on here ammo was lighter, but we tested that right before we came up, and it turns out it's not. And I thought I thought the 9 mil round would be lighter, for sure. And it's just, it's not.
It's a wash.
Which is crazy. So, a couple of stats that I pulled off the interwebs, and these are kind of, you know, you find different numbers here and there. So, take these for what they are. 9 millimeter can be shot out of a 4 to 4.5 inch barrel, but its most optimal distance is 6 inches. And 5 inches is optimal for 45. Now, for a 5.56 round, 10.5 is about as short as they say you can go. I think go a little shorter than that, but I think they say that. And it's optimal, I didn't know this, is optimal barrel length is 20 inches. Did you know that?
Yeah, I figured it was like 18.
Yeah, I thought it was 18. Yeah. But according to the interwebs, it's 20. So,
if you think about it, that round is made to burn all that powder over 20 inches. Putting it in something half of that has to be a ton of wasted energy.
Fireball. Yeah. So, you know, I like to use things for the design purpose. Also, I have stats for 300 Black, which is arguably meant for shorter barrels. It can be shot up at 8.5-inch barrel, and I know people who have gone shorter than that, 7, and had just perfectly fine success.
I think JD is like 6 inch or something.
But it's optimally designed for 16-inch barrels. So, yeah, fireballs galore. If you love fireballs, that's one pro you got going on that you didn't write down, was massive fireballs.
Yeah, now a 300 Blackout uses pistol powder.
And a rifle round,
and a large rifle round. And they actually take a 5.56 brass and they neck it down and everything. So it's essentially a rifle, brass rifle round with pistol powder. So it's meant to burn in a shorter
time
barrel.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I've seen people shoot 300 Blackout out of a 4-inch. To me, that's... I think going half.
That's a barker, that's for sure.
I think going half of what it's intended for isn't smart.
Right.
If I want something as small as a 4-inch, that's when I'm going to go.
You gotta go pistol caliber.
Pistol caliber. And that, yeah. I do think that's where, yes, the pistol caliber that I have right now, I think it's like a 4 or 6-inch barrel. It's because it's pistol round. And so for me, if I want a gun that's like real tiny.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to go pistol.
Yeah, absolutely. Tiny guns.
But again, at that point, I might as well get just a little bit longer barrel and shoot 300 Blackout. To me, it's just a better... I would rather shoot... And it depends. I agree with you on the range.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to shoot $2 round ammo.
No, you got to practice. Yeah.
But if I'm in a defensive situation, I got to shoot through car doors and whatever. And
sure, yeah.
Whatever, then I would like to have...
You can always change your ammo. Like, we know for a fact that 9 mil can shoot through a B-pillar with the right round. But 300 Blackout destroys vehicles. Just in one side, out the other.
And so does 223 and 556. And that's...
Yeah, it does definitely go through that.
Yeah, that's where it just... Unless what I'm going for, like an itty bitty little AR, it doesn't make sense to go super small. Now I really do like a Sig Rattler.
Sig Rattler, the MCX is awesome.
Just tiny little itty bitty thing at 300 Blackout. I think I also make it in pistol caliber. Again, if I can choose the same platform,
right.
And choose between 300 Black and 9 mil. I'm going to choose 300 Black.
Because keep in mind, with a rifle round, you lose an inch and a half of length from the round itself, right? Like, the barrel's not measured from the tip of the bullet. It's measured from the very far back. Actually, I think it's from the ring collet, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so, you know, you're losing some distance. So you got a 4-inch barrel and an inch. Like, you don't have much accuracy standards or the ability to use that round accurately. So that's why I think for rifle rounds, you know, you got only have so short you can go. And I think for me, the shorter the better. If I could put it in my little Haley flat pack, I'd be thrilled. But I haven't found a round or a gun that I can so far.
At that point, you might as well go the Glock.
What is that
Glock
called?
Stock things. Draw a blank right now. But yeah, at that point, you might as well put a brace on a pistol.
Those are cool.
They're odd, man. Like, you really got to train.
Are they considered PCCs still?
No, it's not a carbine.
Hmm?
Or is it? I don't know.
there's a lot of rules, and it sucks that we let the ATF be the one who dictates what the rules are. Because if I were to say, I would say that's considered a handgun, a braced handgun. I wouldn't call it a pistol caliber carbine. But technically speaking, if you put a brace on a PCC, it's not a pistol caliber carbine anyways, right?
I don't know.
Long story short, we're going to refer to them as pistol caliber carbines, and I think that the shorter is better, and you think that it's okay to go a
to
little
me, it's more about I would rather have a slightly bigger gun to have the power of a rifle round than have something smaller that doesn't. But
yeah,
the beautiful thing is we live in a country where
can't do that anymore.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to choose one side or the other. Either
you must agree with one of us.
A rifle, you cannot have both. You have to one or the other. Do you agree with me? Do you think it should only be a rifle round out of a short barrel? Or do you agree with Dusty that you can just have
itty-bitty.
A giant pistol and shoot pistol round?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from you. So let us know in the comments below. Love to know what you think on this topic. All right, so it is time to look at next week's.
Oh, we got ideas.
Yeah. All right. First one, pie versus cake.
Pie versus cake.
It's pie, obviously.
I was unaware that pie and cake were in competition with each other.
Yeah, I think they're the closest rivals, I think.
Well, like,
you know, when it comes to dessert time, would you, you know, pie and cake are pretty common.
Yeah, pie offers. And cake. That's the key word right pie, there. No. And cake.
Honestly, I don't want to ruin pie with cake. I'm not a big cake guy.
Eat the cake second.
I don't like icing that much, and I don't want something spongy. I would rather have pie.
I had no idea today was going to ruin our friendship.
It might be.
I had no idea.
Well, it was a good run.
Not a good cake guy?
Okay.
We can't argue that.
We're not going to do that.
No.
All right, next one. What? What's better or worse? I don't know which way to word this. Diarrhea versus puking?
Diarrhea is better.
You'd rather have diarrhea than...
Rather have diarrhea.
Than puking?
Yeah. At least there's some sort of containment vessel when you're out in public.
I don't know, man. I think I'm going puking. I think I would rather... Like, you feel so much better instantly after puking.
Hard pass.
It's just... I don't mind puking.
I'd rather have 13 times of diarrhea than 13 times of puking. I've had 13 times of puking, I will never...
That burning ring of fire, eventually, you are begging...
I can Vaseline.
You are begging to just end your life because
Vaseline doesn't work in my throat.
If any more comes out, you don't know if you're going to survive because it burns so bad.
I have been in a very bad way in both situations. That being said, I don't think we should discuss that on the internet.
That's a really stupid one. Oh, man. All right.
You got something that's not like.
So, that? Yeah, I do.
Less painful.
All right. This is another one that was. That I was discussing with somebody in the comments, and we kind of narrowed it down. Actually, I think we kind of broadened it to, should you modify a handgun, you know, slide cuts and porting and grip, you know, stippling and put a trigger in and Cerakote and all this stuff. Should you do that to a handgun, or is that a waste of money, and are you adding elements or the gun might not function as well? Are you going to ruin the gun?
So putting an optic,
having a stock,
is that called modifying? Like one optic, an optic gun. I don't think that's heavily.
I don't consider that. Yeah. If you have to get a slide cut we're talking slide cuts and milling and porting and stippling and trigger jobs and.
Well, I know how I stand.
How do you stand?
Shouldn't do it.
Shouldn't do it.
Shouldn't do it. Done it.
That's
can't
true.
Recommend it.
I can see why you feel that way.
Yeah.
You have a gun.
A little salty.
You have a nice paperweight.
Right now, I may have fixed it, but I haven't tested it yet.
Every time you think that.
I've been through this. Listen, don't do it. All right? I've been through this. I'm just looking out for you, okay?
And then I think we can also.
Don't do it.
I think we can also kind of take a side of should you modify a carry gun? You know, so maybe. I don't know if this is two topics or one, but I think we can kind of wrap this up.
We can wrap it up in one.
Because I know I have some pretty strong feelings on modifications to a carry gun.
Yeah.
So
should you put Punisher skulls on your carry gun?
Absolutely.
That's the real question.
That is, of course.
Of course.
Of course. The more Punisher skulls on your gun.
Punisher skulls and Boondock Saints logos.
Yeah.
Duh. So we're gonna argue that then, huh?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm down for that.
We'll figure out who's gonna take what.
Yeah.
Next time. Or before we film. So I think we need to kind of compact this. So we need to figure out, refine this. Because if we're going to talk about defensive weapons, then there might be
difference in feeling.
Yeah, it might be some difference here. So we'll figure this out, repack it, and we'll come back to you guys next week with this topic. Thank you guys so much for watching. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks again.
Cheers.